6 Republican lawmakers in Georgia are sponsoring a bill to create a state ethics board to oversee journalists. Under the bill, journalists would have to turn over interview tapes and notes at the board's request. And if they refuse, journalists would face fines of $100 a day and possible lawsuits. Representative Andrew Welch, who introduced the bill, said he had a problem with certain kinds of media coverage.
News stories, which tell only part of the story and which cloak opinions and erroneous conclusions as factual, even if constructed on false premises.
Georgia Speaker of the House David Ralston put it a little differently.
It is very difficult to discern for the public as to what is an editorial commentary on something and what is the facts that the article is based on. Blending the two seems to be what has become more prevalent in the media than a separate analysis of facts versus commentary.
Journalists and press associations across the state and the country have balked at the proposal, saying it would violate the First Amendment and hamper the press's ability to scrutinize Georgia's elected officials. Stephen Fowler is a political reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting, and he joins us now. And he wrote about the bill for the Columbia Journalism Review. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Before we even begin, I mean, you and I are both journalists. This sent a chill down my spine. I think a lot of our listeners may not quite understand why this is so concerning. As journalists, can you help us understand?
Well, when the bill was first read on the House floor, those of us in the House press gallery kind of laughed at it when we heard it in passing because it was the last day of the session and it was busy. But then we got our hands on the text of the bill, and that's when the concern kind of happened. What this bill does is regulating how we as journalists do our job in a way that is not previously done before and is not something that is allowed under the Constitution, under the First Amendment. And it would put a lot of restrictions and restraints on the freedom of the press and on the potential for the press to report on things or to be able to report on things freely and independently. And that's what a lot of the concerns I've heard from my colleagues here in Georgia.
Now, what prompted this legislation? Was this legislators who were piqued about coverage about something?
Well, the Republican lawmaker who filed this isn't talking much now. He actually said he was resigning from his seat after the end of this session, but we think it has something to do with a TV reporter asking him a question about another bill that he filed, but we're really unclear about what specifically led to this bill being dropped. The bill sponsor did say that it also maybe had something to do with some national news media instead of local.
What are the chances of this bill moving forward? I mean, how much support does it have? Because if that's the case, it sounds like this is a personal dispute with the media. As we know, that's not a new thing, at least for the past couple of years. But does this have broader institutional support?
Well, Republican Andy Welch from McDonough, the bill's sponsor, put it on the last day of the session, so it can't be discussed until the next session begins in January. And he also said he's resigning from his seat. We've seen reaction from all parts of the ideological spectrum here in Georgia. Journalists, non-journalists, politicians say this bill does not seem a good idea. It doesn't seem like it would jive with the First Amendment. So the chances of this actually moving, I would say, are slim to none, but it's the message that it sends that may resonate a little bit longer.
Stephen, we know my former employer, CNN, has their headquarters in Atlanta. Did you get a sense that this might be aimed at them? We sort of talked about the national media outlets that might be the target of this.
Well, you know, Representative Welch, in an interview with reporters after he filed the bill later in the hallway, said that part of this was a desire to kind of call out the national media outlets. He mentioned newspapers and cable TV shows and other things that he says don't clearly label what is fact-based reporting versus what's an opinion on an issue, and they kind of blur the lines between the two. So CNN being headquartered in Atlanta, perhaps he's talking about CNN or other cable outlets, but there is this level of the national media being conflated with what we do at the local state house or at the state level or regional papers and radio and things like that, that I think these lawmakers and members of the public tend to conflate what they see with the New York Times and what they see with CNN that they may or may not like with what the, you know, local state government reporter does, covering things in and out for the local community.
And, you know, one of the things that comes up often when we talk about the media is exactly what you said, sort of parsing that apart and making sure that there's more media literacy. We spoke to Janice Hume, as a journalism professor who teaches a class called Credibility, the News Media, and Public Trust. And she told us that in order to win back some of this trust that apparently the public has lost in the media, that we journalists need to do a better job of showing our work. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
I would like to see sidebars in the digital products or in the print products where we explain why, you know, why did we use an anonymous source? Why did we make this particular choice in terms of a visual to use with this story? I think it could be done with the articles. And I also think we could do a better job of just going out there and talking to the public and explaining to them why we do what we do and why what we do is critically important.
Stephen, we're both reporters. I understand the need to clearly show our listeners or our audiences what's opinion versus what's not, right? And I think a lot of us already do that. But this idea of explaining to that extent, to the extent that Professor Hume is talking about, what's your thought on that?
I am wholeheartedly a fan of showing your work as a journalist, of media literacy, of media ethics, and explaining these things, because I think it's almost as important as the actual story being told. For this Columbia Journalism Review piece, there's no sidebar saying how I got this story, but you can see in an interview with this person, in an interview with this reporter, in an interview with this, so it's not making up quotes out of thin air and things like that. There are certain newspapers around the country that are putting these sidebars of how we got this story, how we decided to report this story. And I think one of the things that I'd like doing is engaging with people on social media and kind of showing my work of how I report on things or where I got things from or what I'm doing on social media so that people can see the pictures and the video and the conversations that I'm having. And if there's a voice that I'm missing, you know, somebody will say, you haven't talked to this person. And I think, you know, opening up the doors of journalism will only help what we do and help the public's understanding of what we do of, you know, maybe not sharing the entire thought process of giving everyone an open Google Doc of your script, but, you know, showing the work of what we do, I think, is so important because it builds that trust and it shows that we're not making things up and that these are real people doing jobs, talking to real people about these issues.
And it also should be noted that we can't make things up. Like you said, we have codes of ethics and legal and constitutional duties here as journalists, so we have to make sure that we abide by those. Stephen Fowler is a political reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.